will kill a comment that's, just negative against the writer, or, but some of the comments are really hysterical. I mean, you have different points of view completely, particularly the comments on the columnists. For instance, Maureen Dowd usually writes a very lively column. She generally likes President Obama, and so she gets it from all sides. We haven't talked much about President Obama, and I'll talk about him briefly. It occurs to me to be interested since he's coming to China in November. He was elected as a very popular president last November, of course, and he came in with very ambitious plans, both on domestic and foreign policy. On domestic policy, he wanted to improve the economy, stop the recession that had set in, also to get a major health plan approved, which would change the way Americans pay for their medical care. And he also has very ambitious plans on foreign policy to get a Middle East peace talks going again, to have a dialogue with Iran, to stop nuclear weapons, to have very good relations with China. And right now, because it takes time for most things to happen, nothing much has happened. So in a way, you could almost say that President Obama's honeymoon is coming to an end. And just as a husband and wife sometimes realize, oh, we're married to each other, and you have to deal with the realities of living together. So the American public is realizing that President Obama is the president for the next 4 years. And so you have to deal with him one way or the other. And the opponents of President Obama have tried to take advantage of his drop in popularity to begin attacking him more. And, poor Adobe, they really won't let you go.
So what do you think about Obama's medical care, please?
It's his medical plan. If you ask me exactly what the medical plan is, I still can't tell you. He gave a big speech to Congress just before I left for China, which he spoke very well. It went on for almost an hour. But it's still not clear exactly what will be in this health plan. Now, what you have now are people, largely from the middle class, who have health plans from their place of work, who don't want to change it. Retired people of my generation who have a health plan already, which they helped pay for when they were working, called Medicare. And then there are young people like yourself who, when they're in school, have health plans because it's covered under their college tuition. And when they leave school, if they don't have a job, they can buy it themselves. It's not that expensive if they're healthy. But many of them don't bother. They say, I'm healthy. Young people don't think they ever get sick. So it's unclear who will benefit. The idea is that no one should not have health care. It's a very good philosophy, but to put it into effect without raising tax, people don't want to pay more in taxes. These are very big political issues in the United States. All summer, that has been the one leading political problem in the United States. Not policy toward China, not policy toward Iran. Foreign policy in the United States, by and large, is not a big issue. Because people, for good or for bad, don't pay much attention to it. Unless there's a real crisis, unless you're in a war. And right now, his other foreign policy crisis is on Afghanistan. Because the American generals in Afghanistan clearly want more troops, and some of his own supporters in Congress, such as Senator Levin, who's the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, doesn't want to have more troops. So he's going to have a problem. That may turn out to be a big issue. Afghanistan may be President Obama's Iraq. That may be too dire, but we will see. Anyway, interesting. What do you do in class? I'm just curious what you guys do in class. Do you write news stories? Do you practice writing? What do students in journalism do here?
We have different courses.
Different courses?
Writing would be one of the courses.
All right.
We don't have much time. Can we have more questions?
Sure.
So we have a few chances for students to ask questions.
Go ahead. Young lady here. Historical parallels don't occur very often. It's an interesting... In 1953, there were riots in Berlin, and the Soviet troops put them down. Anyway, good question. Thank you. Anything else?
I have another question. I noticed that besides the website, the New York Times is also making use of other technologies, such as digital newspaper, and it launched Times Reader 2.0 this year. So what's your opinion about Times Reader 2.0? Do you think it's a good way for the survive of newspaper?
No, you're saying the Times has a big readership on the web. Yes, and the Times knows that and loves it. And they are looking for ways to maximize some money from that. It's very frustrating when they have a product that everyone around the world looks at, but they can't make any real money out of it. They don't make enough money out of it to pay for the money that the paper is losing. In other words, you couldn't really have a New York Times website right now without the New York Times newspaper. Because all the resources of the New York Times newspaper pays for the foreign correspondents, the bureaus, and they have to figure out a way. Now, I noticed on this website they even had an advertisement in Chinese. So that means they're selling some ads in China, on the website that's published in China. It's interesting. I didn't know that. So it's tailored for the audience to a certain extent. But, you know, I think some websites would change the news around. They would. You notice they have up here a global edition. If you click on that, you get more world news and less local news on the homepage. But it's, and you get other links to stories in other newspapers. But I don't think Americans, you know, just in general to what you were saying, I don't think Americans know much about China. You know, that's a... it's not taught that... You know, in American schools, the emphasis is still on Europe. I mean, Americans don't know a lot about a lot of things. They don't know much about Russia. They don't know much about the Middle East. They don't know much about China. That is ordinary folk. I mean, you have experts in colleges and things like that, but maybe that's good. They don't know so much. You know, I don't know. You know, it's if you don't know your neighbor, you can't really hate them. If you don't know whether they're good or bad, you know, so it's that sort of thing.
Question for you, Mr. Gertner. Since you are the expert on communism, on communist affairs since the Cold War, right? So it is communism and communist is related to the image of the East country, or especially China. Mm-hmm. Now, so have you noticed any change of the meaning of communism and communist in the minds?
Yeah, well, you know, it's. I think in many eyes, communism is one thing, but clearly it's different. The Moscow, when I lived there, has no resemblance to Beijing. I mean, of course, we're now talking 40 years ago when I lived in Moscow, and 40 years ago, Beijing look more like Moscow than it does today. You know, Moscow today also looks more like Beijing, and they have high skyscrapers now and modern buildings and a lot of millionaires also. The Soviet brand of communism is quite different. You know, the Communist Party is a minority party in Russia. They don't really have a political system now. It's run. It's essentially an oligarchical system. Putin is not really a dictator, but he is in a way. It's a quite unique system. Yesterday I was talking to some people, and in the audience was a Chinese journalist who... Did I tell this story? You know, I've been telling stories. I don't know if I'm repeating myself. There's a Chinese journalist who worked for a Chinese newspaper who said he wrote editorials. And so I asked him, I said, how much control does the party have on you? How often are you told you can't write on something? He said, well, it's pretty good now. He said, 90% of the time what I write is okay. I can get it printed. It's much better than it used to be. So I took that as a positive sign. I don't know exactly. When I lived in Russia, I always would have liked to have been able to spend time in, say, the newsroom at Pravda, which was the Soviet Communist Party newspaper, to see how decisions were made on putting articles up. Things have changed in the press. When I lived in Moscow, the way the Soviet Union announced policy changes was often through an editorial in Pravda that would be carried in English and on TASS before it appeared in the paper the next day. So I had to stay up usually till about 1 o'clock in the morning waiting to see what was in Pravda the next day, and once I had the article, I sometimes could write a story saying the Soviet Union said, you know, and I didn't have to say Pravda said, I'd say the Soviet Union said the United States policy in the Middle East is terrible, you know, nothing's changed, and I could say that because it came out as an editorial in Pravda. That was like a way of saying, I guess the same thing happens with People's Daily. As People's Daily carries a big editorial, they're speaking with the force of the party. Now, I don't know, and I only would know from living here, is how important the party is in the public affairs of this country. In other words, it seems to me a dichotomy in China now. You have the economic sphere, where you have foreign investment all over the place, including my little son's company. You have big industrial giants here. You have huge manufacturing units producing goods that are sold around the world. So China is deeply involved in the world economy. There's no escaping. Without China, the world economy would crumble. It's a major factor. Nothing in the Soviet history was like that. That's changed completely. On the other hand, you still have the party, and I'm not sure what the party really does. Is it a cheerleader? Is it to get people encouraged to do the right thing? Is it, you know, you read articles about these people you never heard of who are arrested for a certain blogs that nobody writes. I mean, some of the stuff seems silly from the outside, but I don't know. I read an article today in China Daily about how the party now wants to crack down on corruption. It seems communist parties are always trying to crack down on corruption, so that means there's corruption. Where does it come from? Is it because the big businesses are paying off local officials for permits? I mean, in the United States, you have corruption all the time. A mayor gets paid by a developer who wants to put a factory up and needs a permit to do it, and so he gives him $10,000 and he gets permission. You know, they don't say it's for the permission. He gives him $10,000 as a present for his political campaign. You know, so life goes on, and what I don't know is the impact on people. Do they pay attention? Is it the people want to be in the party? Is it a, how big a deal is it? I mean, to be invited into the party, is it something people have to do? I don't know that.
Not have to. Hmm? Some people are willing to join the party.
You like to join the party, yes.
We have a faculty conference at 3 o'clock. Yeah.
So, oh, we have to go somewhere else. Time. I've been a very busy man. All right. Is this mine or somebody else's? Yes. No. Thank you very much for enduring me. I appreciate it, and thank you. Take my picture so I have the New York Times back. Okay, so I can. All right.
I'm picking
some. Okay. Let me just.
I use mine.
Okay. No, you, no, did that not
work? I got two.
Okay, all right.
Tradition.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, I'll take the camera, thanks.
So, thank you, Mr. Gertzman, for your sharing of the information, your ideas about the internet, about everything, about foreign affairs or foreign affairs, Soviet Union, China, American, everything.
We covered a lot, didn't we?
Yeah. In a short time, so yes. we really enjoy everybody, okay. Right? So this is a thank you for your coming, for your wonderful talk.
Okay, well, thank
you.
We'll
see you more tomorrow for the next 2 days.
Is that right? I can never escape, right? I'm here.